What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now. I am your host, Jordan Rabold, and I've got a new microphone, new studio. It's really my bedroom, and I cheated the shot to show probably the nicest, cleanest part of my bedroom, which kind of shows you how awful my room is. I try to keep it clean. The problem is I'm on the road like 2, 3, 4 days a week. And then when you're here for 3 or 4 days, it's really tough to prioritize cleaning your room. Especially now. I'm wary to say this because I was told that I should just act like I'm either gay or bisexual for marketing purposes, but I do have a girlfriend now, and she never wants to come over because she claims my room is filthy. And I don't think it's that bad. She told me I should throw out some of my books. That's wild. She was like, if you've read the book, are you going to read it again? No, but I think once you buy a book, you keep it. You keep the book forever. You keep it as proof you read it. And then when someone points to it, you kind of be like, I read that one and that one and that one and that one. Now, the problem is that I do this thing where I'll buy books because they make me feel good. And then I don't read them. So I have a whole bookshelf behind me that looks impressive. But the truth is that I've read like 10 of them. Because buying books is the best part of books. That's the best part, is because you feel good. You go to the place, you look around the shop, you find a book that you would enjoy, and you read the back of it, and you're like, this is amazing. Maybe you read the foreword, or maybe you read the other 10 author friends' recommendations of the book where they say how it's a fantastic book. And then you take it to the register, and the woman behind the register is shocked you're even buying a book because she hasn't sold the book in 3 years because nobody reads anymore. All anyone does is look at their iPhones now. And she's so happy and she's just tickled pink that yet you're even purchasing a book from her. And then you leave there and you never read it. That's what you do with books. That's what books are for. That's what they're for. They're to show that you're a person who values intellect, but doesn't value it enough to build your own intellect. Someone asked me, she told me I should talk about how I don't do drugs and I don't drink. I don't know. I don't enjoy drinking. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't get anything out of it. I get super hungover. I'm like, when you're 30, dude, do you remember when you were like, straight up, when I would drink in college, I remember drinking until 2 or 3 a.m., then I would set an alarm for like 7 a.m., and I would go to the gym and sweat it out and or still be drunk on a bike. And it's like, I could never do that now. Not in a million years could I ever go out and drink until 2 or 3 a.m., set an alarm for 7 a.m., and wake up. That would be impossible now. When you're older, hangovers just knock everything out of you. That's why some humans, I think, some of you guys who drink routinely, are you superhuman? What are you made of? How are you able to maintain a job, any relationships, and drink? How do you manage that? I can't accomplish. And the last time I drank, which I don't even know when it was, anything beyond a drink, which, what's the point of one drink? You ever have someone do that? Like, what's the point? I'll have, like, some people, when they hear I don't drink, they'll be like, oh, do you have a problem? It's like, I don't have a problem. I could, in theory, drink one drink. But it's like, what's the point of one drink? What one drink? What does that even do for you? You barely get buzzed. You don't really feel it. You're not drunk enough to do something bad or make a mistake that then you can blame on the alcohol. Nobody has one drink, cheats on their significant other, and then goes, well, I did have one beer. No, you can't. There's no reason for one drink, so why not just go zero? It doesn't taste good, straight up. Straight up, booze doesn't taste good. Anyone who tells you that alcohol tastes good is lying. They are lying through their teeth. You know what tastes good? Non-alcoholic pina coladas. Non-alcoholic strawberry daiquiris. Those taste delicious. they put the sweetness in there to cover up the shitty alcohol smell. Alcohol is rotten. It's rotten, and it tastes terrible. It always tastes terrible. I can't remember the last time I took a shot. Someone like wants you to... When you're doing shots, you're just trying to get... All you're doing is trying to get destructive. Shots. Those are... Oh, my God. They just burn so bad. When you throw it back, ugh. Ugh. The second that it hits the back of your throat, you want to vomit. Your body is rejecting the shot. As it's going down, your body is like, this is terrible. Why are we doing this? Your body hates shots. That's why it goes down and your body almost tries to push it back up, but it's such a small amount of liquid and it went down too fast that it can't reject it. Gosh, I can't remember. One time, my friend and I was my buddy Scott. I was at his place, and then actually another Scott was there, and our plan was to drink in college, and one of the Scots, I know it's super annoying when you're hanging out with two friends with the exact same name. There's only three of you. It's like, yo, can't you guys be more creative? Why do you have to go with one of the most generic names ever? But so I'm hanging out with the Scots, and Scott, I almost said his last name and I shouldn't say his last name. One of the Scots then was like, I've got alcohol we can have here. My dad's got this like fancy rum. And so he went and broke out his dad's expensive rum and poured us each a shot. Swear to God, I hadn't even had anything to drink at this point. Swear to God, I did that one rum shot, and it was so vile that within 6 seconds, I had started vomiting all over his kitchen. All just projectile vomiting because of how horrid it was. I guess you sip it. Shows how much I know about drinking. I guess you sip it. Is that fun? Is it fun? I think people just, they romanticize the idea. There's something romantic about like rum on like a hot summer night. You're drenched in sweat. You're wearing a fedora or one of those Cuban hats. Is that it? Is it like the romantic, or is the alcohol actually good? I've also been told I'm already such a low monitor person. I pretty much act the same way no matter what the situation is. So I've been told that alcohol could potentially like make me even more lower monitor. And so I think that would be such a terrible combination. Then I'm saying whatever I feel and think, which is, I'm already operating at that level most of the time. And so I think alcohol would just amplify it, and that would be a real issue for me. So I think that's why I don't do it. Did I even say hi to you guys? I can't even remember. Did I say hi to people? Does it matter? Do you guys care? I mean, such a weird form of media. So one-sided, you know? Does it matter? You know when they greet you? I guess I said, hey, what's up, everybody? In the beginning, I didn't even say thank you for listening or anything. Like, you guys give a shit. Just like intro music. We already told you, no intro music, no guests, no co-hosts. This is Anxiety Now. It's an hour with me. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody's coming. I'm not going to let you on the podcast. I've had many of my comedian friends hit me up, and they've been like, I'd love to be on your podcast. I'm sure you would. I would also love to get on things I'm not on, but you're not putting me on them. So why should I put you on my thing? I don't see why. I don't see why. If you want a thing, go make it. There's so many people complain right now that they're not in stuff or they don't get opportunities. But it's, and I do it. I did it literally last episode. But here's the thing. I'm proactive, bruh. Okay? I've got my own podcast. I rigged a studio in my bedroom. I shoot my own sketches. I've created my own stand-up tour. Doing all that has been so freeing. It has been so freeing to have the whatever to do those sorts of things. You want to create how the way that this career would be ideal for me is if I didn't need anybody so I could do what I wanted when I wanted. That's the whole goal, is to do what I want when I want. I don't want to be chained to someone else's hours. I want to go do shows when I want to go do shows. I want to go do the podcast when I want to do the podcast. I want to go shoot a sketch when I want to go shoot a sketch, write whatever. And ultimately, I want that to grow into doing movies. That's where I see it going. And I'm talking about this right now because Brett and I, the Rabel brothers, we just put out a sketch literally today, the August 9th, called Corporate Apology. And we're super proud of it. We worked really hard on it. We actually wrote it as a submission to SNL. And don't worry, they didn't hire us. They didn't want two white brothers, which is hilarious because out of probably all of the people on their staff, we've written more sketches than most of the people on the staff, with the exception of like Britannic and the college, anyone who wrote for College Humor back during its heyday. Outside of that, we've done the most with the least, baby. Nobody accomplishes less in comedy with more than Brett and Jordan Rabel. That's going to be our claim to fame. That's going to be it. Nobody's accomplished less with more. Oh, I'm getting a phone call. Jesus Christ. Come on, man. My bad. On my own podcast. It's terrible. Turn that on mute. Terrible. So unprofessional. But yes, this video was, we think it's really funny. Made us laugh really hard. And it's, people are actually watching it right now. I keep refreshing how it's performing on Reddit, which, wow, what a nerve wracking. People are scared of Reddit. Dude, we walk willingly into the fire. Reddit is amazing. Anyone who fears Reddit and thinks it's an alt-right platform, you just don't think your stuff is good. That's it. You don't think your stuff is funny enough that it's willing to have random strangers pick it apart. And boy, will they. They have said some vicious things about our previous efforts. I've been told that my acting looks like it's C-level drama. And then someone goes, you think that these guys took any acting classes? And you know what? I did. I went and took an acting class as a result of it. But yeah, it's called, our video is called Corporate Apology. And it's it makes fun of, have you guys seen any of those like Facebook, Uber, Wells Fargo? They put out all these corporate apologies when they have, when they get caught doing a bad thing. That's what's annoying, is people would keep doing the bad thing if they didn't get caught, but they get caught, so then now they put out the apology. I guess it makes sense, because what are you going to, like, cop to a bad thing you did before you need to do it? I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably a better way to handle your personal relationships. Like, if you want to maintain friendships or relationships, then it's probably better that if you make a mistake to tell the person before they find out another way, because at least then you can, quote, get in front of it. That way you can get in front of it and just get bulldozed by the train. That's what that saying means, get in front of it. Jump in front of the moving traffic and find out if you're able to bounce off the hood of the car. That's what that saying means. But yeah, we did a parody or a satire. What's the difference? Someone smarter than I am could let me know later what the difference is between those two things. But it's a satire of all those corporate apology videos. And the premise is that it's a corporate apology or an organization apology. And the organization that's apologizing is ISIS. And through the power of stock footage, they're being forgiven, which is exactly what Facebook, Uber, and Wells Fargo did. Which one of those is the worst? It's hard to say because I've read so many articles about it. Like, did Facebook actually affect the election? And nobody is sure. None of the journalists aren't sure. Research isn't sure. I saw a thing, I think, on Nate Silver's blog that said that it didn't have... had minimal impact on the election. So from that, if that is true, then I guess they didn't really do anything that bad. other than it could be a tool that could be used. Like, weaponized. This is the headline you always see. It's the weaponization of social media. That's what people always write up top. Yo, easiest weapon to disarm ever. Log off. That's all you got to do. Log off. This isn't a weapon. If that's all you had to do to stop nuclear war was log off, do you think we would give a shit about North Korea? No. No. See, can you really weaponize Facebook? What a dumb idea. Log off. And everyone should. Everyone really should. And I know I'm probably going to share. And I share my videos on Facebook because I don't know what else to do. How else do I get people to watch my stuff? I have no idea how else to do it. I put it on all those social media platforms because I have no choice in the matter, right? But weaponize, what a strong word. Russia is weaponizing Facebook. No. Log off. If you feel like it could hurt. That's the if everyone turned their back on Facebook or any form of social media, then it would die. That's what happened to MySpace. We should all go back to MySpace. We should go back. We owe them an apology. We owe everyone, it's the butt of a joke. That's what's so funny, is the butt of a joke. And the guy that invented MySpace, he sold it for millions of dollars. I think like $50 million or something like that is how much he sold it for. Let me see here. How much was MySpace sold for at its peak? Let's see. This guy sold it for, oh, Jesus, wow, way more. $580 million. Wow. He sold it for $580 million. His name's Tom. I don't know his last name. I think he's clearly a famous entrepreneur. But my understanding of what he did is, wait, I got something funny to read you guys in a second. Oh, wow, this is really funny. I'll get to this in a second, but he sold it for $580 million, and I think people like made fun of him at the time, and even some entrepreneurs like ragged on this Tom dude. But look at it this way: the guy sold it at pretty much its peak, made the most money, and then now doesn't have to deal with the headache of running a social media platform. Whereas you look at someone like Zuckerberg, who's had multiple opportunities to sell his company for multiples of that, billions and billions of dollars. And of course, he's created Facebook and however much it's worth, which is so much. I don't know. How much is it worth? It doesn't matter. I probably like $40 billion. How much is Facebook worth? How much is it worth? It's worth, that was so close. It is worth, I mean, that's its shares, bro. That's its shares, bro. All right, Mark Zuckerberg has a net worth just shy of $70 billion, so Facebook's worth more than that. I don't know. I don't really feel like getting that exact number. But the point is, so someone – at first people are making fun of Tom, and they're like, who's smarter, Zuckerberg or this Tom guy? A million times over Tom. A million times over. Tom is so much smarter than Zuckerberg because he got out of the game. Meanwhile, Zuckerberg is constantly under fire. His life is not fun. He also isn't a human. If you ever watch any interactions of him with people, he's not a cool dude. Not a cool dude. Not chill at all. Like, nobody expected Zuckerberg to be chill, but he's a loser. He's a loser. That's just, so what? If you're worth $70 billion, you're still a loser, dude. That's why every year he does his little challenges. Hey, Zuckerberg, how about for this year, your challenge? Run your company. Don't help Russia fix the election. God. Meanwhile, Tom, doing whatever he wants. $580 million, way more money than any human needs. It's shocking that we let billionaires exist. Why do we let that happen? And what do you do I always think, what do you do when you get that much money? What do you do with it? What do you do? Because you can't, life can't get, there's a certain point where life is dope, but at another, what else, like, what does it do for you to have $70 billion? I bet you Mark Zuckerberg gets depressed. I hope he does. I bet he gets real depressed with that much money, but no real friendships. When you have so much money, it really can sour all of your relationships. Being a regular Joe Schmo or being like locally famous, that's what you want. You want to be a local legend, because if you're a local legend, everyone admires you. Everyone admires you. You go into the diner, everyone gives you a high five. Maybe they throw you a grand slam plate for free. That's the level of fame you want. You want that level of fame. You don't want, I don't think you want like the Kevin Hart level, the Mark Zuckerberg level of fame, because then every single moment of your life is shaded by the fact that everyone knows how famous and successful you are. There's something beautiful in anonymity. And I get that. The irony of me saying that when I do a very public podcast and do very public writing things. But, you know, being like Kevin Hart, doesn't Kevin Hart have a special? It's called What's Next. That sounds like an existential crisis. I didn't even know that was going to be a stand-up special. I thought it was going to be like, yeah, I've achieved all of my dreams, and I have access to literally everything I could ever want, and I still feel hollow. I hope you do. I hope you do. Do you find that inner peace at the level? Maybe running Facebook gives Zuckerberg purpose. I hope it does, but then when everyone kind of hates you, there was a point where it seemed like Zuckerberg might be running for president. That will not happen now. It will not happen. Or if it does, he will be almost as hated as Hillary, which is a crazy level of hate. Most hated politicians today are Hillary's number one. Donald Trump is number two. And number three is, I don't know. I have no idea who number three is, but all right, I got to pause this real fast. Sorry about that. Had to go close. My roommate just got home. I didn't want it to ruin the recording of this thing. You know what I mean? Let's move on to something else. You guys don't even, what do you give a shit? You know, what do you give a shit? Yeah, I don't like parties. I just don't. I guess if you don't drink, parties aren't that fun. Parties are only fun when all of your friends are there. But the issue is that how many parties now have all of your friends there? Like none of them. Like I would enjoy parties. I guess I enjoyed parties in college when it had all of my teammates from my soccer team were there. Those parties were fun. But then whenever I went to any other party, I was like, this kind of blows. So I guess parties. Wow, what a boring thought. Parties are only fun when your friends are there. Also, if you have a girlfriend, I had a girlfriend all through college. Parties become infinitely less fun when you have a girlfriend, because the allure of a party is that women are there, and there's a chance one of them might make the mistake of sleeping with you. That's why guys go to parties. That's a huge component of it. Now, in college, the things you would do at parties to try to get a woman to sleep with you probably weren't going to make that happen. For example, playing beer pong for 5 hours. No girl's ever seen a guy just like sink the last cup and be like, oh my God, I need to suck his dick right now. Just 5 hours of beer pong. God, what a boring game. What a boring game. And sometimes like 30-year-olds now will still play it. Have a kid. Don't play beer pong. Have a child. That's what you need to do. Don't play beer pong or flip cup after the age of 22. Get a life. Do something. That's when you know. That's when you know you're due for children. Now, if you have kids and you want to do those things, I support that. I support it. I support it because it's an escape. Anything you can do to escape your children, I am all for. But if you are single or you just have, or if you're not even single, if you don't have kids, don't play beer pong. That's my rule. Don't play beer pong if you don't have kids. You have nothing to escape from. You are wasting your time. Now, if you have kids, anything you do to escape from them, you should do that. Absolutely. Now, I want to talk about body shaming because I am very pro body shaming of only men. You are not allowed to body shame women. They can't handle it. Women clearly can't handle body shaming, but nobody handles body shaming like men. Oh my God. Men are fantastic at body shaming. I have a rule for men, and my rule is this. If you are not married and don't have kids, you should be jacked. You should. And if you're not jacked, I think you are a waste of humanity. Now, jacked just means somewhere in the range of 14% body fat or less. That's pretty achievable, I think, for everybody out there. And if you're not at 14% body fat or less and you are a single man, what are you doing? You have no kids. All you have to do is go to work from 8 a.m. until 6 or 7 p.m. And I'm assuming you have no artistic ambitions, which also, if you have artistic ambitions, I'm not going to give you an allowance there. You don't get it. But if you are under, not even under, you know what? If you are single and you're not under 40% body fat and you are a man, you're a fucking loser. You're a loser. There's no reason. There's no reason that you have that much. We're not built. Men aren't built to have body fat. They're built to be jacked, bro. Men are supposed to be jacked. Women are supposed to be fat. They carry fat in their boobs and their hips for baby making. You just shoot sperm, bro. That's all men do. You're just there to shoot sperm. You are a penis with a man attached. You're just a dick with a man attached. You are a penis with a man attached. So the man attached should be jacked. No part of that means you have to carry kids. So you should be jacked. You should be. How are you not? How are you? Someone who is not jacked, tell me how you're not jacked. And a man, again, women, you're built to be fat. Women are supposed to. It sounds callous, but it's true. You can't. Women, you have boobs. You got hips. You make kids. All that good stuff. You know, it hits you more. But men are supposed to carry stuff. That's it. That's men's purpose, is to carry stuff around for their girlfriends and also to make sperm. Such an oversimplification of men. It's horrible. But they should be jacked. There's no excuse. There's no reason other than your own lack of willpower, lack of desire, or bad habits. Which, I think I've gone over this. If you're over the age of 25... everything that happened to you before that, hey, I'm sorry you were raised in a place where all you ate was Pizza Hut and you weren't taught nutrition. But now you're 25 and it's time for you to overwrite your software and get better hardware. It's time for that. You know you should. And you know what you're supposed to do. You know all you got to do. Sometimes people... oh man, I know I'm doing it on this podcast right now and nobody asked me for this, but since I have gotten fitter, people will ask me what my secret is. Dude, there's no secret. There is no secret. It's diet. If you eat good food, you look good. If you eat bad food, you look bad. Also, I take creatine. There's no point to being as fit as I am. It's such an insecurity. So insecure. That's why. That's why. 100%. If you see, if there's a guy who is jacked out of his mind, that dude is so insecure. It's so clear. It's so clear. I work out so much, and it's because I'm afraid that nobody will like me if I don't work out this much. I don't know why, and they probably won't. You know, it's funny, I work out this much, and some people still don't like me. I also like the feeling, but so much of it is just for that, like, the cosmetics or knowing and feeling athletic. So much of it is that. But what is the secret to getting fit? Stop eating bad food. Okay? Do some push-ups. Go for a jog. I think I talked about how terrible The Biggest Loser is because of the idea it sends you that it's like you need to push yourself to the brink. You don't need to push yourself to the brink unless, you know, you really want to kill it. But there's no reason to push yourself to the brink. It doesn't add. You need to do a little bit of fitness, but it's really food. You need to just chop carrots up and grill some chicken breasts, and you'll lose your man breasts. It's that simple. I regret so much that I'm... I think it's because a part of me thinks that maybe, just maybe, I'll still become a pro athlete. A part of me thinks that might still happen, that there's going to be a moment where, like, the national team, like, all the players are, everyone, like, the first 15,000 players right now who are ahead of me for the national team, they all are going to tear their ACLs next season. And they're going to be like, we need you, Jordan, for this World Cup qualifier. You're our only hope. You're the best we got right now. I still think that phone call is coming down the pipe. I really do. I really do. I think the phone call is coming down the pipe. And then when I get that phone call, they're going to be like, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to rise to the occasion. I'm going to have like a hat trick against Honduras. I'm going to push us through to the World Cup after we didn't fail in this past one. And they're going to be like, every one of those coaches who didn't sign me for a professional contract, who didn't put me on a youth national team or on a regional team, they're all going to be like, you know, Jordan, you were right the whole time. And then all 40 of those coaches, I'm going to be in the middle of it. All 40 of those coaches are just going to give me a big hug and an apology. And they're all going to say, you were good enough the whole time. I still think that's going to happen. I really believe it's going to happen. It's going to happen for me. Really want to be in the life of a pro athlete. That I decided that is the best. That would be way better. That's a way better. Here's why it's such a great life. Now, I'm assuming the sport that you make it in is a very well-paid sport. It's not football. You don't want to be a professional football player because then you don't have a head afterward. I like that they did research, discover that concussions mess your head up. Wow, hilarious. We needed a research for that to figure out that football is bad for your head. Research. People did research. Dude, you could look at the sport and go, that's bad for your head. It's head collisions for 3.5 hours. How could that not be harmful for your head? Have you ever spoken to an old NFL player? Old being 38. Most of them, heads bashed in. Put it this way, they're not podcasting. They're not. So what you want is you want a sport like soccer. That is a fantastic sport to be professional in. And again, you want to go pro, not in America, so you can make boatloads of cash. You could also be, I think you can get, you don't, now being like Messi or Leo or Cristiano, that's like insane level, but you can get to like a good healthy level of fame where like you always get a table at the nicest restaurant in Florence and like a few people know who you are, but not everyone knows who you are. But it's a great, you make so much money by the age of 32. You can make $20 to $50 million by the age of 32 playing right back for a mid-level team in the Serie A. And then, bro, you're free. You're free from the shackles of capitalism. if you don't blow it all, if you understand that your money making days are over. If not, that's probably the hardest part. I know there's that 30 for 30 called broke, and it showed that like how many athletes end up in America, or I think it's in the world, I probably end up going broke by the age of, by, you know, like 3 years out of the league or whatever. It's like 80% of them, and it's because they spend all of their money. But if you just, if you put that, this is financial advice for everyone. I'm tossing this out for all of you, everyone. If you want to have a, if you want to save money, just put it in a Vanguard fund, or maybe pick four companies that you really believe in and make sure one of those companies is Amazon. If you invest that way, you'll be fine. Okay. And you, and don't touch it till the age of like 70, 75. You'll be fine. You'll be in great shape if you do that. But these guys, they could have like lived off of the interest from their sports. But that's the great, I think it's a great life because you're done. Boom. You've made anywhere from 20 to 50 million by the age of 32. You've retired. You also feel a sense of accomplishment. Maybe there's some professional goals you didn't achieve, like you didn't win the title or you never started on the national team. But then also you can look in the mirror and go, I did my best and I got to almost the highest level. I got to the highest level possible and the thing I wanted to accomplish. So then you can ride out your glory years in happiness and accomplishment. But not like this. This is all still grind. Where does it end for... Where does the road... It's so funny. People, friends will ask me like, so what are your goals in stand-up? I don't know, man. Probably to pay the bills and shoot some specials and write some movies or TV shows. Those are my goals. Those are the goals of stand-up. But it's like hard to... I have concrete ones, but I don't want to share them with you on this podcast right now. But what are the goals? You, no one ever says that to you about your broker job where someone's like, so what are, so where does this broker job lead? Where do you see this broker job going? Nobody really says that to you. They just let you have your job. They just let you do it and assume it's to pay bills. It's the point of any job. Like in interviews, when they ask you, why do you want this job? To pay bills. That is why I want this job. But you can't say that. You have to come up with some nonsense answer. Something stupid. You have to be like, I'm really interested in the underwear business. Like you work at MeUndies. I'm really interested in online marketing of men's underwear. I think that men also should have sexy underwear, and I feel like it's my place to help push them towards sexier underwear. Like, nah, you don't give a shit about that. It's to pay bills. Why do I want to work here? Because it's going to pay me the most money for the amount of time I can tolerate at this place that someone will let me do. I'm not skilled enough to make more money. This is the most money I could get with my skill level and confidence in myself. This is all I'm worth. This is what I'm worth. Just the concept of a job is bizarre. Like, humans are the only creatures with a job. Right? Do any other animals... They don't really have jobs. I know people say there's like worker bees and soldier bees or worker ants and soldier ants. But probably most of the time is chilling for them. Like soldier ants don't work 9 to 5 and then when it hits 5, go back to the hive and hang. I feel like this is the most nonsense podcast I've done, guys. I'm really... Let's straight up, I just feel frazzled right now because I want to see how my sketch is doing. You know when you put something, you know when you share a thing and all you want to do is check it and see how it's doing? That's how I feel right now. I just want to check my thing and I want to watch it as more people check it out. That's where I'm at right now. It's like... Holy shit. It's at 265 upvotes. Let the hate begin. Let them begin. Oh, look at, here's a comment on our video. This feels like something from Last Week Tonight, or as it's more commonly known, Last Trigger Warning with Johnny Cuck. Wow, you're not funny. Jesus. That's what I love about people on the internet. They are so vicious. You gotta appreciate that fact about hecklers, is that a heckler at least is saying it to your face. Granted, they're hiding in a crowd, but at least they're voicing their feelings about you at that moment. Probably the funniest heckler I've personally had, at least the one I can remember right now, is we're doing a show in Amherst, not a good room, and yet for some reason we persist in doing the room. I think my friend K Hart hosted, Alex K Hart, funny comedian, and then Brett went up, and Brett had a good set, and then I went up, and I was actually having a pretty decent set. I was like 20 minutes in. It wasn't, I will admit, not my best set, but it certainly was good. It was good. The jokes were landing, not as hard as I like them to land, but it wasn't going horrible. I know when it's going horrible, because it's gone horrible so many times. So I know when things are going bad, but it wasn't here. And what was hysterical to me was there was a group in the back of like 50-year-olds, an older group of people. Now, I have a rule now where when I look at an audience, I try not to judge who they are. And by that, I mean if you have a bunch of a certain ethnicity in an audience, a bunch of a certain age in an audience, a bunch of a certain gender in an audience, what I do is I go, they're actually probably not different than me. We all laugh at the same things, I believe, by and large. We all enjoy the same things. So there's no reason to fear anyone who is different than you or that is of a demographic. That said, I will say that typically 60-plus-year-old men do not enjoy my comedy. I know, shocker. Perhaps because it feels like their son is telling them how life works. And if there's one thing that I know is that younger men or older men do not like advice from younger men. Perhaps because they think that younger men are stupider than them. Because they often are. They often have way less wisdom, way less life experience. So what could a late 20-year-old tell a 60-plus-year-old about life? And now there are some cool 60-plus-year-olds who come to shows and they're great. But this was a group of 60-year-olds who, they weren't loving it. And also they were pretty sauced. There was a woman in the back with them. Now, usually it's 6-year-old men that don't join me, but there's a woman in the back. She actually went to a separate room, went into the separate room, and audibly I could hear her go, "I hate this guy." And then she came back in the room. And as soon as she said, "I hate this guy," everyone in the audience could hear it. I laughed so hard. That is hilarious that she got up from a show, went to another room, told a person who wasn't at the show at all, "I hate this guy," and then came right back in to resume the show she hated. That is crazy. Leave. But so she sat back down. I heard her say, "I hate this guy." Everyone in the audience heard her say, "I hate this guy." So what are you going to do? You can't just take that on the chin and just keep dancing on stage and doing your jokes. You got to address it. You have no choice but to address it. So I say from the stage, "Ma'am, why do you hate me?" And then she, of course, was silent. Because I think she somehow thought I couldn't hear her. But yo, it's like 40 people at this fucking show. You just walked into the other room. The door was wide open. You said, "I hate this guy." That loud. And then immediately walk right back in. The room, you could hear a pin drop. The tension in that room was so thick you could have cut it. It was so thick. So thick. She would not answer me. And I said, I am not moving on until we figure out why you hate me. Why do you hate me? Again, silence. Silence from her. Then her husband goes, she doesn't like your jokes. He kind of actually did have a southern accent, even though it was in Amherst. And I said, really? She doesn't like any of my jokes? And he goes, yeah, not really. And I go, well, I think a lot of them are really good. In fact, if I had to rate how this show is going, here's how I would say it's going. The first 3 minutes, I did crowd work. I'm not going to argue with you there. That was actually just mediocre at best. It did okay. After that, I did my like nap joke. I did a dating joke. Those did really well. Then I did the boot joke. That joke did good, but not as good as it usually does. And then I literally ran through every single joke that I said on stage up to that point and what I did in those first 20 minutes and rated how each bit did. And then by the time I finished it, the entire audience started cheering. Everyone else started cheering. Was like, yeah, it's a pretty accurate rundown of how the show has gone. Anyway, since we're performing at these indie venues with no bouncer, and the bouncer is me or Brett, she got to stay at the show she hated and proceeded to not laugh at the rest of my set. But everyone else somewhat enjoyed me passably. Ugh, such a mediocre show. So bad. Mediocre is so much worse. The reason mediocre sucks is because doing okay, you're like, I could have maybe turned that the other direction, but I didn't. Doing mediocre is so annoying for that reason. Doing well is great because, you know, your ego stroked and you just got your rocks off. That's fantastic. Bombing, still better than doing mediocre. Because at least then you got the full feedback that you suck. Doing okay, ugh. Fuck doing okay. Fuck doing okay. You either want to crush or eat it. You really just want to crush, actually. You don't want to eat it. But if you're not going to crush, you want to just eat it. So you can get the full come to Jesus, 4-hour drive home. What am I doing with my life? I need to reassess where I'm at in this career. I need to reassess all of my jokes. Tomorrow or tonight, I'm driving home. I'm going to write for 2 more hours. I'm coming up with some new bits. These things need to be re-tagged. You're right. I did get lazy. I did get fat. I thought I had it all figured out. Turns out I have nothing figured out. And why would I even think I have it figured out? I'm only 6 years in. I'm so arrogant. What an arrogant piece of shit I am to think that I, at 6 years in, have mastered this thing that some people, even at years 20 or 30, still work at every single day. And here I am at 6 years not writing. God, I'm such a sack of shit. So yeah, that's why bombing is good. Because that's a feeling it brings out of you. That. That's why bombing. Bombing is good for that reason. Pure failure is great for you. Pure failure is amazing. You get the feedback. You get the feedback. That's why I don't think so many people grow in relationships. They don't grow as people in relationships when they end because they never get the feedback on the real reason why it ended. Or if you're a person, you know, if you like dated someone for a long time and they'll let you know how you suck. Like people have told me that I will reach a point and I maybe don't always, I perhaps have taken some previous ex-girlfriends for granted. I'll admit that I have. But because we've gotten that feedback so many times, I'm now working on that part of myself. And I try to not take my significant other for granted. But if you're a person who like goes on anywhere from like 1 to 6 dates and you never, even if you feel like you like people, but then you never, you know, can trick them into fully dating you, you're not going to get feedback in those situations. It's too early. Like if you, if you're having a lot of one night stands and they're not converting into 2-night, 3-night, or 40-night stands, there's something wrong. But you're probably wondering, you're like, I'm not getting any feedback. No, it's probably because you're not really establishing a connection with somebody. Your personality isn't good enough to overcome how bad you are in bed, or Not that I'm great. Oh my God. Anytime anyone brags about how great they are in bed, it's insane. One of my female friends, she is semi-seeing this guy. They're not official at all, but she said that he went down on her for 3 hours. And she didn't do anything for him. Bro, that is horrible. Horrible. How do you do that for 3 hours? And how is that interesting for her for 3 hours? Dude, you could have finished Schindler's List in that time. You could have watched all of Schindler's List. And instead, you ate box for 3 hours. This is real, by the way. I'm not exaggerating. She said for 3 hours. Oh, my God. You could go to Napa Valley and have a wine tasting that is shorter than the amount of time that you tasted her box. You could have driven from Kansas City to Wichita before, or in the amount of time that you ate that woman's box. 3 hours! What is going through your head for 3 hours? 3 hours! How is that interesting for either of you? How is that interesting? So boring. The max, you can like do that for like 5 or 10 minutes is the max. Max on that. 3 hours, dude? His face must have been all like wrinkly. You know, leave your hands in the water for too long? His face must have been so wrinkly by the end of that. 3 hours? That's crazy to me. She thought it was like romantic. I'm like, dude, that's just a cuck move. Being so much of like, so much of the male part of relationships is like debasing yourself and inconveniencing yourself for the woman's favor. So much of it is that. Most of it is. It's mostly sacrifice. That's the only way men know how to show love, is through sacrifice. Is through like spending money on this, buying that, spending time. No, it's not all material, but sacrificing your time. Granted, if you're enjoying how you're spending the time, it's not a sacrifice of time. But I will say this, women will make you go to parties you do not want to go to more often than men will make you go to parties you do not want to go to. Now, if you guys never want to do things together in public, you shouldn't be together. But I have found that women make men go to things they're not interested in quite a bit more often than things. Like, women will invite their boy, like, girlfriends will invite their boyfriend to hang out with their friends. And I know you should do that sometimes, but if the guy doesn't want to go, why would you make him? Meanwhile, guys would never have their girlfriend hang out with their friends, period. Hard stop. No, but they would never have their girlfriend coming out with their friends in a context in which they wouldn't enjoy themselves. They wouldn't do that. Because we're more conscientious about your feelings and whims and desires. Meanwhile, you want to see how hard you can push us as proof that we care about you. We'll go through misery to prove that we care about you. But you wouldn't go through misery for us. Or if you did, you'd complain about it later. God, gender dynamics are so frustrating. You know what I do hate so much? I'm pulling up my phone to look at this shit. But so often, like, I cannot stand some of the, like, platitudes about, like, there's no good men out there. Like, that kind of shit. You hear, like, women, so many, like, women are saying that. And, I mean, dating is supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult for you to find somebody. Because you're not supposed to be with everybody. So that means you have to go through a bunch of awful people or mediocre people or people that you don't mesh with. You're supposed to run through a gamut of them. But then they're like annoyed that they're not like finding the right person for them. Yeah, I know. It should be difficult. If it's not difficult, then you're not with the right person. And then once you find a person, it should feel pretty easy. It shouldn't feel like work to go do stuff for them or to hang out or spend time together. But what's the thing here? Like, here's some stupid platitudes. I screenshotted this shit. So this is just like, so it's somebody like, people write stuff like, if somebody ever writes stuff like, people don't prioritize self-love. Ugh. 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 I mean, don't hate yourself, but if you like have to remind yourself that you're worthwhile through being like, I need to practice self-love. Ugh. Gross. It's so often like practicing self-love, it's about accepting how shitty you are. It's not about self-love is actually it's supposed to be about making yourself better. Self-love is going and doing things that make you uncomfortable, but so much of it is like, love that you're fat as fuck. No, don't. Hate that you're fat as fuck. You should hate that you're fat as fuck, and you should try to get better for it. That's a fact. You should. You should hate that you're fat as fuck and try to get healthier. Is that fat shaming? Yes. Did I say I was only going to do that to men? Yes, but now I'm not. I'm doing it to everyone. I think everyone, if you are fat, you should try to get unfat. It's healthier. Them's the breaks. It's biology. I'm sorry. There are not as many fat old people as skinny old people. And the reason is because of weight. People who don't, like, there's so many of these plaudits that I think Instagram and social media have pervaded all of these dumb, nonsensical, one-liner, generic thoughts like that. People don't prioritize learning how to have a functioning relationship. What the fuck does that mean? Learning how to have a functioning, you want to have a functioning relationship, tell the person what you want. And see if they want it too. And if they don't want it, then don't be together. Or if you think they're wrong, then ram it down their throats that they should want that thing. That's what I think you should do. People don't study the art of communication. Oh my God. Gross. Women lower their standards because of the shortage. By the way, now you know it's a woman. First off, guys never write shit like this. They never say shit like this. Or if a guy does, he's some sort of motivational speaker who's trying to take money from you or fuck all the women in the audience. Women lower their standards because of these shortages and quotes. Men don't do the work because they don't think they have to. No, you know, if you're dating a guy and you feel like he's not doing the work, the reason he's not doing the work is because he doesn't really love you. I know that hurts to hear, but that's the reality. That's the truth. If a guy... People, if they care about you, they do the work. Now, you know, work ebbs and flows. Caring ebbs and flows. Like, you can't always be, like, there at the exact moment that your girlfriend wants you to be there, sure. But if a guy is not trying to communicate with you where he is, what he's doing, what he wants, not trying to be like, hey, do you want to go out on Thursday? He doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. And vice versa. If a girl doesn't try to go out with you, she doesn't want to go out with you. You know what I hate is, and a lot of guys, I lived with a dude. Oh, great. Now he knows I'm talking about him and he listens to this podcast. He used to always ask us, what should he text a girl? And I'd be like, well, what do you want to text her? And he would go, oh, I want to text her that I want to go out on Thursday. Text her that. And he'd be like, I don't know. Is that too forward? No, it's not too forward. That's too stupid that you think that's too forward. How? It's not like you were like, I want you to come suck my dick. That would be too forward. But saying, I would like to go on a date with you is not too forward. I just can't stand these. There's so many guys who will have their friends co-write their texts to girlfriends. What are you doing? Say what you want. Just say whatever you're thinking. And if they don't like what you're saying, then don't be with the person. Just be who you are. Jesus fucking Christ. We have a generation of cucks amongst us. The cuckery that goes on amongst my peers is disgusting. They're all so afraid to offend someone. Or to say a thing that someone's not going to like. Say it. Let them not like you and walk away from them if they don't. It's not that hard. Who cares if they like you? Who gives a fuck? If those people, because some people will like you. focus on the people that like it. And I know I'm saying that. I'm the one nervously checking my shit all the time online to see if people like what I'm saying. But who gives a fuck if people... Because if they don't like you, then they're just not going to be with you. Let them die. Get them out of your life if they don't like you. If they don't want to be with you. Who cares? Who gives a fuck if people don't like you? You can't care. It's so much of stand-up is not giving a fuck what the audience wants to hear and telling them what you want to tell them. And that goes for life. Just tell people what the fuck you want to tell them and let them deal with it afterward. Like, I want to say the N-word all the time. I don't. I just had to say something trolly. Men don't do the work because they don't think they have to. It's trash. You know what I'll say is when women say all dick is trash. You know who says that? Trash women. You know who doesn't say that? My mom. A really nice woman like that. A nice woman like my mom never says dick is trash. If you think all dick is trash, you're the only common denominator in all of the dick being trash. Maybe one should look within. And I know right now that sounds like it's female oriented, but that goes for men. At least some men will say all women are trash. They're not. You're the common denominator. Maybe you're the one bringing the trash out of everyone. But I can't answer that for you. You'll have to answer that for yourself. See, we did it. We got remotely serious in this podcast. It was 35 minutes of nonsense in the front of this thing. You know, I'm really tired. I'm worn out. I'm also doing video for the first time, by the way. And I think I'm going to check it out. Hopefully I'm going to put it up. I'll put up my YouTube channel and go to Jordan Rabled. Please, please go check it out there if you want. I'm trying to upgrade this whole podcast. And I appreciate the people who sent me a few topics. I discussed some of them on this thing. If you have any other things you would love to hear me talk about, hey, message me, por favor. It means a lot. I would love to just use your topics as things I talk about and not have to sit here and think about things from my own. I'm lazy, okay? I'm super lazy. I have no work ethic, and I don't want it bad enough. I want you to do the work for me. So send me some of those topics. And if you could, go write me a review. I've gotten a few more reviews, and that means the world to me. They're 5 stars. So yeah, please, write 5-star reviews. If you feel like this is a 4- or 3-star podcast, you know what? Keep it to yourself. Write 5, and then you can write in the thing. You can put that you think it's actually 3, but you didn't want to ruin my rating. But yeah, please. It means a lot to me if you did that, and it would also help the podcast grow. If you enjoy it, don't keep it to yourself. Don't be selfish like that. If you find a great restaurant, tell your friends about that great restaurant. If you go on a great trip, don't tell your friends about that because you don't want them to spoil the locale. Because every time a tourist goes to a place, the place loses its flavor. Wow, that's a little sad, isn't it? One last thing, put out a sketch. Go to the Rabel Brothers on YouTube. Check it out, called Corporate Apology. Seems like people are really liking it. I think it's really funny. It's good satire. It's good parody. And frankly, I think I should be writing for SNL or a show like that. That's just a fact. Brett and I should both be writing for that show. We should. We should be writing for it. And then we should host the Weekend Update. The first 2 brothers ever to host the Weekend Update. That's what should happen. Okay? That won't happen. But I'm putting it out there. Make it happen. If you guys buoy me to the top, all right? People, I'm taking the shit directly to the people. I'm not going through industry. I'm going through you. So if you have the power to get me to there, or at least a very good place. But I really appreciate you listening to this thing every single week. That means the world to me. Like I said, I'm going to put up some clips online on YouTube, upload my Instagram. So I guess now I have self-promoted for 5 minutes. Fuck me in the fucking asshole. What a waste of humanity. I suck. I loathe myself. I'm sorry. I'm going to end it now. Goodbye.